You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 59. I'm Dan Hammond. This week we have a continuation of the conversation we had with the chairman last week, so we'll just jump right into it.
The idea is taking the affiliations that aren't, you know, capable of winning worlds / competing at that level and sort of giving them the tools that they need to get to that point. So while I wouldn't expect it to be a team expansion, I wouldn't expect to see a lot of Klingon, Fed, or Borg cards in it. I would expect to see a lot of Tarak Nor, Maquis, Cardassian, that type of stuff.
Is that something that you can really plan for that far in advance? I mean, you've got the legacy set came out, this set's coming out. I mean, can you really say, this affiliation isn't good enough with two sets that haven't hit the streets yet?
It may change. Like, what's done at this point is we have Chris Lavin Malowis did. We have this awesome tournament software that's basically telling us all across the world what people are playing and what's winning. So we have at any given time we can go to a page and see how many types of affiliations are being played, what their winning percentage is, all sorts of really useful statistics. At the same time, James Red Dwarf Hoskin is he's working with Brad on this next expansion. One of his research projects was to go through all of the affiliations and make lists of what they don't have. Like, what can't this affiliation do that other affiliations can do? Stuff like, does this affiliation have a way to gain skill? Does this affiliation have a way to cycle through their deck? Does this affiliation have a way to, you know, beat a dilemma? And so we have this big list of all these things that people don't need. And whether, you know, if all of a sudden Cardassians and Romulans start winning a lot of tournaments, then, you know, we can make cuts from the design file and say, well, they don't really need this stuff anymore. But there's still this baseline list of what these affiliations need to be competitive or what they need to be complete. And that's really what they're working from. So
does that kind of go counterbalance, counter in an opposite direction of the original flavors of the affiliation? Because back
no.
in the beginning, you know, like, I think it was a DS9 that was supposed to be able to do a little of everything, and, Romulans couldn't get rid of cards that were already in play and things like that.
Yeah, and I don't think that affiliation flavor is necessarily going to go away. I just think it might get redefined. And, for example, Cardassians, one of their big cultural themes is wastefulness, you know, discarding lots of cards to do things. So you could make a card that, that's not really Cardassian flavor and then give it a Cardassian cost. If you're following what I'm saying, you know, Romulans lose points to do stuff, and, Dominion is like the everybody gets hurt type affiliation. So you can do, you can put affiliation flavor on a mechanic that may not be, you know, inherently native to that affiliation, but I don't think we're talking about, you know, going down the road of 1E where everybody's essentially just a different color skin and a different color card, and they're going to have what they do very well, but there are some things that certain affiliations need to be competitive, or more accurately, there's obviously a reason why Cardassians, Romulans, Tarak Nor, Maquis, Dominion aren't showing up at high-level tournaments and aren't winning very many tournaments. And the goal with Schizophrenia Peak Performance is to ideally make it so that any affiliation can compete and win. Now, obviously, there's still going to be, you know, some that are better than others, and it's a never-ending process of balancing, but hopefully by giving some of these affiliations the tools that they need or the tools that they don't have, it can level the playing field. So,
why weren't any of the actual images spoiled before the actual set came out? You've done that differently in the past.
Well, part of it was, you know, we made the decision early on that we weren't going to do that. To sort of make it more of a big Christmas present for everybody. It's like, you know, oh great, we're going to download this, and actually everything in it is something I haven't seen before. You know, I've seen the game text, but I haven't seen any of these images. So make it have a little bit more of a special feel. We wanted, you know, we were really, the big mantra, as I said before, was this is different. So we felt like we needed to do it differently. But, you know, the technical reason is that image work was still being done even earlier in the week. Due to some technical issues that we had, and some political issues, and some interaction issues. So it just was sort of the cards were done and finished a long time ago, but they didn't get their final images and all pretty looking and lore and subtitles until, you know, very late in the process. And we could have rushed and done a less quality job and had images to spoil early, or we could have taken our time and really made sure this looks good. And I got the high-res proofs earlier in the week, and man, they are amazing. Johnny and Brad have really done a good job on this one.
It's a very pretty set to look at, I can say that already.
I mean, I didn't think they'd be able to. I thought Raise the Stakes was going to be the pinnacle of our ability to produce high-quality cards, and wow, I was wrong. Johnny and Brad and all the people that work on the images and the lore and the titles really, really have delivered a high-quality visual set here.
The Equinox folks have already existed in 1E. Was there a lot of referencing going back to those cards to see if, you know, skills matched up, or, you know, what people were used and what people weren't, or was it just pretty much clean slate, let's start over again?
It was, honestly, their skills were one of the last things we did on them. I mean, when we wrote them initially, it was like, it was all about making their abilities work, and that whole mechanic right. And that took a lot of tweaking. I mean, some of the skills were obvious, like Ransom is going to have leadership, and he's going to have exobiology, because they talk about him being an exobiologist in the show, and, you know, the two non-unique guys, Angelo Tessini and Thompson, both had, like, they're just pure weenies early. They just had, like, three skills on them each. And then as we played with the costs and the mechanics, it was like, well, we can tweak them and make them better, and we can add a skill and make them cost three, or take a skill away and make them cost two. And it was just sort of a balancing act. I mean, we looked at the 1E cards. I looked at the 1E cards when I started doing them. And they don't do anything in 1E. They're just, you know,
yeah,
high skill folks that, you know, make the Equinox work better, because they say Equinox and lore. I mean, but it was, you know, we were arguing about whether or not we could have two non-uniques, and it was like, well, we've got two non-uniques in 1E, why can't we do it in 2E? And, you know, we didn't copy the skills, but, you know, there are a couple references on the cards to the original skills, and I actually think Angelo Tessini's lore in 2E is exactly the same as his 1E lore, if I'm not mistaken. So, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot to clone between the two, you know?
Who came up with the subtitles for the Enterprise people?
The Starfleet folks? Not all. I'm not going to say all, but a lot of the lore and subtitles on all the virtual expansions I've done. A lot of them. Just because Brad usually sends me the file at a certain point in the process, is like, I need titles and lore, and I get up bored and get on Memory Alpha and some of our transcript pages and start looking, and send him, you know, 2 days later, I send him an email with, like, five different subtitles for every card in the game, and usually one of them ends up getting used, so. I've been actually doing that for Star Trek since, what was the set after Captain's Log? These are the Voyages. Since the original series. Actually, no, since Captain's Log, Gerard had me do titles and subtitles and lore for those cards. It was one of the first experiences I got, you know. I was a tournament director, and then I was an ambassador, and then I was a play tester, and then I got to do story, and then I got to do design. So
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So
I have to say that the image for Willard Decker has got to be the best image for a card I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's that's cool, isn't it? I still think one of the coolest images ever is, for some reason, the NX-01 Enterprise is very photogenic. And, you know, its original card, the Finally Ready to Swim was one of the best-looking foils I think they've ever made.
Yeah.
And I think the Future Enterprise is a cool image where it's like flying at you out of the card. But yeah, Decker is just sweet. I mean, it really captures the character, and it's just a solid image of him.
And it's very crisp. I mean, the lighting is perfect. It's got, you know, the motion picture style computers in the background, which is just, you know, funny lights. It just looks great. It's one of my favorites. So the continuing committee, is, since the store is closed, is doing virtual release cards instead of selling them in kits. Why did you went with two this time?
Well, Johnny picked Ilya as the promo, the release promo, but originally. He had a really cool... he did what they did for Ro Laren back in the day for Energize. They had a regular image of her, and then they had a photoshopped image of her smiling. He did the same thing for Ilya, so we have smiling Ilya as our primary release promo. And then there was a lot of talk in the question and answers and on the Boldly Going forums about it's going to be hard to play Equinox in virtual format without finding our way, which is let you, you know, you go grab it at the start of your first turn, and then you go grab a ship. Well, we thought about just making it virtual and doing this and doing that, and then ultimately we just sort of decided, well, you know what, like, I have a point. You know, we want people to be like, I like virtual format. I don't really design for virtual format, but it's a nice format. I mean, to be able to tell somebody, go online and print a deck is and get started and see if you like it, that's pretty good. And doing that, adding Finding Our Way just makes it, now you can go play Equinox in virtual. And they need a little help, but you can do it. Whereas you really couldn't do it before. I mean, you could make a really small, tight Equinox deck and really, really hope you got an Equinox early, but having Finding Our Way as a printable promo card, you know, adds it to the virtual format so that now you can just play it, guaranteed. So it was just sort of an easy decision. The people asked for it. It made a lot of sense. There was no reason not to do it. And so we did it. So you get two release promos, 49 and 50. So you're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, that in conjunction with the non-unique, you know, anything goes, I think that's going to just breathe new life into the virtual tournament, virtual format. So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that wasn't an easy decision, but I think it's a good one. So.
Well, you can consider those virtual promos our spoilers for the date, even though that they were released on the continuing committee site today. But with that is all the intelligence we have to broadcast this week. We're going to wish everybody out there who celebrates it a Merry Christmas. Everybody else, have a happy holiday, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Festivus, holiday of your choice. We hope you are enjoying celebrating it wherever you are. We want to thank the chairman for stopping by and sharing his thoughts on our new Christmas present, our new holiday present with us. And we want to thank Warp 11 for their gift of a kick-ass theme song. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
That will draw 58 to end.